Welcome to Engineering Success. I'm your host, Jamie Hutton, and in each episode we'll bring you an influential and inspiring guest from the world of engineering, science, technology and mathematics, sharing fascinating insights into their career journeys. We'll explore the challenges they face, how they keep motivated, and what the future holds for them. Speaking candidly about the engineering and other STEM-related industries, we'll find out what's made these successful people successful. This is Engineering Success. Welcome to episode number 48 of Engineering Success with our very special guest, Joshua Bruce. Josh is currently studying an undergraduate degree in aeronautical engineering. Alongside his studies, Josh spearheads an international initiative called the Young Engineers Summit. This unique summit aims to dismantle barriers, raise awareness, and create opportunities for participants to shape their own futures and contribute to the future of engineering. For Josh, engineering is not just about numbers and equations. It represents a powerful tool for innovation and positive change. Driven by a strong desire to empower the next generation, Josh is dedicated to helping young individuals recognize and unlock their full potential as agents of positive change in the world. His commitment to breaking down cultural and ethical barriers is a huge driving force behind his involvement with the Mission 44. Josh firmly believes that by harnessing their strengths, young people can make significant and meaningful contributions to society. Through his various roles and endeavours, Josh exemplifies a relentless pursuit of his passions and a genuine commitment to making a positive impact in the world of engineering and beyond. Hi Joshua, and welcome to Engineering Success. It's great to have you on the podcast today.
Likewise, thank you for having me and allowing me to share my journey and a bit about what I've been getting up to.
It'll be really good to hear. Can we start right at the beginning? What first made you interested in engineering?
So for me to kind of answer that question, I guess I'd have to take it back to my younger years. I think engineering just really explored my curiosity. I think growing up from around the ages of 7, 8, 9, I used to do something kind of weird. I used to just watch like phone reviews. I don't know why, but that was my first kind of instant into like technology and STEM, I'd guess. Yeah, and I think I was just really curious. There was just something amazing about a 12 megapixel camera, and watching those phone reviews led on to watching things like a show called How It's Made, and I'd see how engineering was used to maybe make engines and X, Y, Z, and then that led to aircraft investigations. So I think it wasn't a case of where I was intentionally interested in engineering. It was just that everything I was exploring at the time, whether it was to combat a problem of not being entertained, it just revolved around engineering. But I think what really started my journey with engineering was when BAE Systems visited my sixth form. And that was my first real insight into what engineering could look like. And I think that was the genesis of my engineering journey to begin with, to see what that actually was.
So you're currently studying an aeronautical degree.
Yeah,
I think it's your final year coming up. How have you found the first 2 years, and is it what you expected?
Wow. So yeah. So even before I even get to that, before I entered my sixth form, I actually had plans to do a degree apprenticeship. Right. So this degree apprenticeship was going to be at BAE Systems. Going to be an aerospace engineer.
Okay.
Following them coming to my sixth form, I was really intrigued. This is my first time meeting an engineer, to be quite honest with you. And it was like I was really sold. I went home, went to go do a few YouTube videos, and really saw how they were able to use technology to combat current problems today in the world. And it was beautiful for me to see that you could get an idea and transform it through technology. And you can see with their developments with Tempest, you can see a lot that they was doing. So I was like, yeah, going to do a degree apprenticeship, end
Right.
up going through all the steps, and then I get to the final hurdle, an interview, which I've never done before,
Right.
up until that point. And then it was like, no, it was a rejection at the last hurdle, which was a big blow,
Yeah,
which meant,
yeah.
yeah, I had to end up doing my going to uni, which was kind of the second route, the plan B, which I had
Yeah.
no intention of going at the time. But I ended up, yeah, doing aeronautical engineering. And for my first year, I actually hated it, which was a big shock because, as I spoke about earlier, I was always curious, and engineering was kind of that vehicle that I used to explore my curiosity. So now I'm in a space where I'm actually studying engineering, and you think, oh, it would make sense. I'd really enjoy it. But I
Yeah.
entered into engineering in my first year, and it's quite general to begin with, for most engineering courses in your first year.
Yeah.
But I was just doing a lot of really maths and physics, and I couldn't really understand how I could get from, or see how I could get from maths and physics and see how it would affect any problems that I linked directly to my life or people around me or to the world or things that I was curious about. I just saw it as an exam, as a means to an end, just another phase of life that I had to enter. And so my first year, it was really a shame. And as I said, I didn't really have much exposure to many engineers or access. I hadn't even heard about LinkedIn and all these
Right.
platforms that you could use to connect with professionals. I was just going based off Google search, really and truly. That was my
Right.
representation of what an engineer was growing up. So it was the first year wasn't, it wasn't amazing, but fast forward to kind of now, it's really, really changed because of my exposure to meeting amazing engineers,
Right.
like
Yeah.
yourself, like Georgia Maffedon was a big one.
Yeah.
Meeting the likes of these people really allowed me to see that the maths and physics that I was doing or the different softwares that I was using was rather a fundamental for me to solve a problem that would affect me. So I started to change my view, and rather than looking at it as, oh, Josh, you're going to have to use this maths and physics, so you're going to have to use this Laplace transformation or this software in this assignment, as rather looked at as, oh, I'm going to be able to use this in addition to another piece of information or fundamental principle for me to address a problem
Yeah.
that affects my reality and the people around me. So yeah, I think it changed over time, but that was a result of exposure and for the trips that I'd been and the people that I started to meet. So I started to change my whole approach really and truly to my degree.
Do you think that's something that we need to discuss more about, getting out into that network, just so you understand more about what you're actually learning?
100%. As I mentioned earlier, my first encounter, proper encounter with an engineering professional was in sixth form, which is a huge shame. Sixth form, you're 16, 17, 18 years old. It's a huge shame that it's taken me up until that point to actually be able to speak to an engineer. And I think it's so hard for you to become what you can't see. If you look at growing up as young kids, yeah, a lot of kids, young boys or girls want to be like Ronaldo or want to be this career, this professional. And that's a result of what they've seen, of what's giving them joy. And we don't really have that growing. I didn't have that growing up. So Google was my representation of what careers was really available to me. As well as that, I was growing up in an ethnic household. I'm Ghanaian. That's where my roots come from. Although being born and raised in Manchester, my roots were Ghanaian. So academics was kind of really pushed on. But when you don't really know what that looks like or what that career looks like, it's really hard. So I think it's so important for young people to be able to see young engineers and engineers as a whole, to see what we actually do. I think it's so important because, as I said, it was only up until sixth form that I was able to see what engineering professional did.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're a STEM ambassador, and you also sit on the youth advisory board for Sir Lewis Hamilton's Mission 44. Can you explain a little more about the importance of doing those things?
So both of those positions I hold with esteem and respect. That being part of Mission 44 is such an amazing organization. Just to speak about them briefly, our
Yeah.
mission is essentially just to empower organizations, leaders, and innovative ideas in really reimagining the future and creating transformative experiences for young people from undeserved groups. Like, we're really committed to making an impact and their lives and looking at it personally, growing up, I often felt limited in what I could achieve, whether that was a result of the area that I grew up in or my socioeconomic background, my culture, my age. These were all things that kind of presented barriers to what I could achieve. As I said, it's very hard for you to become what you can't see. However, being part of Mission 44 and meeting the people that I get to meet and being in the rooms that I'm able to be in, it showed me that these limitations can be overcome. And as a board member, we're really committed to breaking down these barriers that hinder the potential of young people from undeserved groups. Because I genuinely believe that young people deserve equal opportunities to thrive and to succeed. Being part of the Youth Advisory Board means that we're able to influence decisions, shape strategy, advise on campaigns, and build relationships. And it's so amazing to be part of an organization that's so that has young people at the core of everything that they do. You see a lot of these high profile individuals who they set up these organizations, and it's more of a PR stunt, not really making meaningful impactful change. But being founded by Sir Lewis Hamilton, and meeting him and speaking to him, you can really see the ingenuity of what he's trying to do. When they speak about it being youth led, it's genuinely youth led. Decisions are not made for youth without the youth, and that's the importance of what it is. And I think it's so great being able to be part of an organization like Mission 44, where we can really allow young people who wouldn't typically get access to a lot of different opportunities and who wouldn't be aware of many initiatives that are going on, and really putting that in front of them. So it's an amazing thing that I get to do. And with regards to being a STEM ambassador, once again, you can't be what you can't see. I think it's harder for you to be what you can't see. So I really enjoy really going out and sharing my journey with STEM, because it wasn't all roses. It wasn't absolutely all amazing. Yeah. I got rejection, which meant that I had to redirect where I was going. My first year of uni wasn't the most amazing. Probably even leading into my second year, it wasn't amazing. Almost changed course. Maybe wouldn't have even been in STEM. So I think it's so important to really speak, whether that's to schools or whether that's to young people, and whether that's even to people within executive positions, to allow them to understand the power in telling young people about STEM, and that their innovation matters, their ideas matters, their voice needs to be heard. Because being a young person in this current generation is so powerful, and it's so important that our ideas are heard.
And you also spearhead an international incentive called Young Engineer Summit. Can you and I know it's just happened, so can you tell us a little bit about that?
So Young Engineer Summit is something really, really close to my heart. It actually started from a trip to Ghana that I went to last year. Upon being in Ghana, we really wanted to see the culture. I hadn't been in Ghana since 2016. So I really wanted to see the culture, being a lot older. So I need a data for my phone, as any Gen Z needs. So I went to a STEM shop, and whilst I was at the shop, I saw really young people, two young boys who were working on phone repairs, and they were around 13, 14 years old. After asking them how old they were, and I asked them, did they go to, like, were they in schools and XYZ and opportunities available, just because I was curious. And they said, nah, they wasn't. This was just their realities. And this was around the phase of when I was in university, and I didn't really see the point of what I was doing. So it was just amazing to see young people, bright minds that were working on, and when I say phone repairs, I don't mean just changing the screens. I mean, these guys were using soldering irons and changing the circuit boards on some of these devices. So it was quite amazing to see at their young ages. And during that journey as well, I saw young people working on generators. Some households are just not connected to the national grid, so as a result, you have to use a generator to power your household. So it was amazing to see young people who are just using, through ingenuity, are developing solutions or working on solutions to combat their problem. And I think coming back, when I was now exposed to the likes of Georgia Mafadon, Yawande Akinola, all these amazing engineers, it was like, wow, like, I'm in the rooms with these people, and I'm getting invited to maybe loads of more events, and seeing the power, I'm exploring now the power of STEM and what it can do. And these people back home in Ghana who are really bright in the way of thinking, they don't really have access to these, and they can help in this journey of developing solutions to combat our current problems. So it's like, what could I do? But bear in mind, I'm still very young. I'm 19, 18. So I don't, like, what am I going to do? So I'm thinking, okay, maybe in the future when I'm like a millionaire, I'll go back and I'll find these people. And then that's what I'm thinking. That's kind of my mind frame. But I end up meeting someone through LinkedIn. I ended up meeting someone called Eric, and he was posting more about young people in Ghana who are working on innovative solutions, and he had his own organization where they're helping young people get access to educational courses regardless of their educational background. And I just got on call with him, and I was like, I really like what you're doing. And fast forward, we end up, it was like, yeah, we have to do something, we have to work together, team up, and then and really do something. So what we end up doing is we end up almost scouting. Yeah, that's essentially what we did. We found young people across Ghana who are working on innovative solutions and machinery. When I say that, I mean some of these young people were making full-scale robots out of discarded cardboard, broken bottles, e-waste, and a full-scale robot. Some of them were making vacuum cleaners from bottles. We had a robotic arm, we had drones, we had delivery robots. Like, it was amazing to see it. And we found these young individuals. And we essentially, after locating them, we got them a hotel and everything. And then essentially we brought them to a venue where we also invited people from the local community and from the universities and the colleges nearby to be part of this Young Engineer Summit, where our aim was to provide as many opportunities to young people in Ghana as we could. So we partnered with organizations across Ghana and here in the UK. RS Group is one of them.
Right.
And we worked to provide opportunities for the young people. And when I say opportunities, I mean through the Young Engineers Summit, few of the young engineers were able to get access to tuition fee scholarships through the organization. They were able to get direct access to development clubs, mentors, development kits, professionals, like some different groups and clubs that they were able to get access to through our Young Engineers Summit. So we just wanted to break down the barriers that stopped young individuals from getting access to opportunities. And that was our main thing. And I think that it was just beautiful to see, because we had even people as young as 12 years old, they're showing a robotic arm that beeps when it comes in contact with a surface. And it was just amazing to see how much innovation is there. But if we can just channel it into the right avenues, bigger than just the projects they're making in their four walls of their homes, and turn it into solutions that can combat problems from around the world and around the continent, I think it would just be amazing. Some of these young engineers, they're so hungry for these type of events and just to learn. That one of them traveled 8 hours just to be at the Young Engineer Summit. And it's just amazing to see when we saw all the young minds. So we released the tickets, and within like 6 days we sold out. Didn't expect it at all. I'm just expecting maybe like 20 people. We end up seeing like just under 150 people. So it was genuinely amazing to see how we were able to partner with universities in Ghana as well. That's how we was able to do the event. And it's just amazing to really allow young people to get access to opportunities and to be exposed to so many different organizations and universities and opportunities through the Young Engineer Summit.
Yeah, that's absolutely amazing. Big respect for doing all that. That is a huge, huge achievement for somebody your age. So like you said, you know, you've got a huge desire to empower the next generation. So how do you think we can infuse them to become interested in engineering?
Yeah, I think, as I spoke about earlier, my view on engineering is just seeing that my first year in uni, which wasn't too long ago, I'm about to enter my third and final year. I just saw it as an exam, a study, job role, maths and physics, essentially. I think we need to look deeper than just the fundamentals of what we learn and the theory behind it. And we need to look at what engineering actually is. For me, engineering is a way to not only use maths and physics, but it's a way to use information, process it, and to redefine impossibilities, to reimagine our future. I think it's so it's so amazing what engineers do. Engineers are able to bridge the gap between the rich and the poor. Engineers are able to address current health problems. And I think it's so important for us to look at engineering as more than just building stuff, and look at engineering as a way to combat and solve a problem that affects not only us, but the people around us. That's the way that I got so infatuated with engineering. It was never a case of, oh, engineering or this career or that career. It was rather a case of, there's these problems that affect not only me and the people around me, but an engineering is the most suitable vehicle for me to address these problems. So I think I think it's so important that young people are able to see the power of what we can do with engineering, so that we can address the problems that face us today. It was only probably earlier this year that I was made aware about sustainable development goals, and that was through my own research on programs that I did with Imperial College. So it was like, why have I had to go through a program for me to hear about sustainable development goals when there's so many issues long term that we're trying to address? So it's like, I think it's so important that young people are made aware of the heart of engineering, because it's not just building stuff. Engineering is looking at how we can develop green spaces to help young people to help people travel, how we can reduce pollution. And it's more than just building stuff. Engineers should be politicians. Engineers should be world leaders. Like, it's bigger than just, we're gonna get a hammer and we're gonna put a screw inside a piece of wood. And I think that's what needs to be presented in schools.
So on from that, how do you think engineering can better promote itself?
Engineering can better promote itself. I think number one, as I said, it's so important for us to, we spoke about being, you can't become what you can't see. It's so hard for you to become what you can't see. So I think for number one, making it more, just be more aware, increasing accessibility within schools. I think it's so important. There's so many goals that we have set, whether it's the net zero targets that we have in 2050, but yet the average age of an engineer is 54 years old. So are we going to wait until this, is this engineer going to wait until they're 81? Are they going to be working for that long? I don't think so. There's such a huge importance for engineering as an industry to get into schools, to get into, to tap into the young people's spaces to address the current problem. Because engineering is such a big role of society. We need engineers. Genuinely can't function. Our economy is built on engineers. Our society is built on engineers. It's needed. So I think engineering to better promote itself is to, briefly from what I so shared about, is to go speak to young people and allow them to know about the problem, that they can address the problems that are currently at hand. And I think it's so important.
I know you've probably got 100, but what would your number one piece of advice be for somebody thinking about taking a career in engineering?
Yeah, first and foremost, there's a quote that I always hear, and I've even got a LinkedIn post about, and it speaks about, be the change you want to see. And although that's a great quote, I want to emphasize on the want to see, because that links to exposure. If you look at my whole story and everything that I've been able to get up to have done, it's all been a result of exposure. I think it's so important for people who want to step into these type of careers to ask the questions, to do things that, to find out whether they like the career, whether you don't like it. Ask people already in the industry. I think it's so important to expose ourselves within the industry. So I think that's probably a huge piece of advice, to really be proactive. And to really, as much as we need to take opportunities, we also need to make the opportunities as well, because sometimes they just may not be presented. A lot of the people that I have had to meet, I've had to travel. I'm from Manchester, and I've had to travel to London multiple times, and I don't mind doing it, because there's so much that you'll learn from it, and there's so much that you'll gain, and you don't know what you don't know. So I think,
Absolutely.
just really reduce the chance of you not knowing, and really get to know. Don't let Google be your accurate representation of whether your salary or what an engineering is, but really go out there and really speak to people. I think it's so important so that you can understand what you like and what you don't like. I think especially for young people from the age of like 3 to 17, I was saying this yesterday, where we asked the teachers, can I use the toilet in our lessons? Like, yeah, we've been asking them every single academic year. We raise our hands and we ask, miss or sir, please can use the toilet. And now we're expected to know what we're supposed to do with our lives. So I think it's so important for us to really expose ourselves and understand, okay, maybe I don't like this, maybe I do like this, but the underlying root cause that we should do is just expose ourselves so that we can be more aware.
Brilliant answer. So then who or what has been your biggest inspiration?
Wow, I think there's a few. I think I can't go on this question without giving credit to my mum and my dad.
Yeah.
With regards to my mum, she showed me what hard work genuinely looks like. I didn't come from the highest class background. I came from a working class background. I got to see what it meant to go to a 12-hour shift, come back home, go to another job. I got to see that on a daily basis. And I think my dad, he taught me what it meant to believe. He always told me, like, kind of aim for the stars, and if you fall, you land in the clouds. Which gave me something that just inspired me. But I think alongside that, what really inspires me with the work that I do and get up to is seeing young people that are really taking the steps to address problems in this world, regardless of their age and or their ethnicity. I think it's so amazing to see people that are really taking the steps and don't really care about all the barriers that could present themselves before them. And not just young people, but people who are already qualified and experienced within industry. It's so inspiring to see the work that they can do. And as I've been saying, it's so hard for you to become what you can't see. And it's amazing for me to get to see them. But I think these are my sources of inspiration.
So how do you think engineering is going to change in the next 5 to 10 years?
Wow, yeah. In the next 5 to 10 years, I already spoke about kind of the goals that the UK has, whether it's their targets for 2030 or whether it's their target for net zero by 2050. I spoke about how the average engineer is 54 years old. So I think with regards to STEM awareness for young people, I think that drastically needs to improve within the next 10 years. It's so important, because how are we going to combat these issues when the average age of an engineer is 54?
Yeah.
Alongside that, I'd say addressing climate change through engineering innovation and identifying like viable alternative energy solutions. I remember reading about Norway and seeing a statistic that they're the most second country with the most renewable energy, with like 71% of its energy coming from renewable sources, which is amazing to see. So it's like, I think over the next few years, we'll be seeing more and more investment within looking at renewable power generation and looking at renewable energy sources to see how we can really combat these issues. But alongside that, I think even looking at all these issues that we're facing with regards to climate change and the issues surrounding and that, looking at Africa, even if we address the issues in the UK, you still have continents that are producing 436 million metric tons of emissions. So it's so important for us to really not only focus on our area, but seeing how we can also help continents like Africa as well, who are also facing these similar challenges. And the reason why I speak about Africa is because I spend a lot of time doing research, doing into the continent and seeing how we can address the current problems there, because they're emerging innovation within there. And I think seeing how we can cross over and share innovative ideas to combat and use renewable resources would be amazing. A continent like Africa has so much renewable sources, and seeing how we can cross over and see these things, I think is amazing. And I think automation is a big thing.
Yeah.
There's a stat that Dell Technologies did. It said by 2030, 85% of jobs, they're not even a figment of our imagination right now. They haven't even been invented.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah.
When I heard that, I was like, wow. Which links back to what I was saying about we need to start allowing people to understand that engineering is more than just X, Y, Z, because it makes us limit what we can imagine the future to be and look at it more as There are many problems that affect us and the realities around us,
yeah.
Caused by us, but seeing how we can really find the solutions to them.
So then what motivates you to succeed?
Wow. With regards to my motivation, I think from a personal standpoint, I think knowing who I am, growing up, my dad always he was a big, what's the word, advocate.
Yeah.
For myself, I remember being on a phone call one time and someone asked me about how good am I at the subject of English. I was in high school, probably year eight.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm average, nothing crazy. And then my dad looked at me, said, never say you're average. And I think just growing up, knowing who I am, there's a quote that says, to whom much is given, much is expected. And I always felt like I was always put in positions of influence, or looked at things from a different perspective, probably due to my curiosity.
Yeah.
And I think that just allows me to understand who I am, and knowing that what I can do if I actually put my mind to it is a huge motivation for me. And knowing that I have the power, believing that I have the power to change, and the people around me also have that same power to change, is so important. I think that really motivates me.
So then what do you love most about engineering?
I love most. Wow. It's a huge, huge sector. So there's a bit that I can speak about. I think I spoke about it earlier. The one thing that engineering has done for me is really changed my perspective on how I see a lot of things. I remember I always do this at my talks and engagements that I do. It's like a thing that you use paper and you build a structure, a cylindrical structure, from three sheets of paper,
yeah.
And then you balance books on it. I think you've probably seen it before.
Yeah,
And
I've
then
seen, yeah.
Yeah, and then you do another one and you use it, and it's like a prism shape.
Yeah.
And you balance books on each of the structures. And for the cylindrical shape, it is able to withstand the weight of 27 books or however many books you can put on it.
Yeah.
And then for the prism, it collapses by probably the first two. And the reason I use that example is because I really love the fact that engineering allows you to reimagine what could be and redefine a possibility.
Yeah.
I really love the fact that engineering gives me a new perspective. But with that example, by just changing the shape of something, I've been able to increase its strength. So I think engineering has allowed me to really change my perspective on what can and what will be done and how it can be done. And that's what I really like, the fact that I can use information, process it, shake it around. It doesn't necessarily have to fit the current trends and topics.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I can the outcome of it is this entirely new innovative solution. So I think that's just amazing from engineering.
And finally, what does the future hold for you?
Wow, what does the future hold for me? I think with the Young Engineer Summit, just continuously seeing how we can address various problems. Once again, it's been a common theme for me, looking at problems that affects not only me and the people around me, and seeing how we can find solutions to it. So I think with the Young Engineer Summit, trying to host more annual events. We aim to be more venues, more locations, like maybe a tour in Ghana, to find more young people and seeing how we can really break more barriers to opportunities, and working with organizations, whether that's startups, and seeing how we can get our competent young engineers into these paths, and to see how we can partner the two to allow them to cross over and to use our young engineers. And with Mission 44, loads of things coming up in the pipeline, some of which I can't share. But I think for me, I don't want to say a set thing, because it puts me in a box. And from my life so far, it's shown me that I shouldn't really limit myself into what I want to get into. But I'm very much interested in renewable power generation, not only just in the context of building large solar farms and using wind turbines, but seeing how it can be renewable energy sources can be integrated into systems like our cars, our airlines and airplanes, aircrafts, things like that is what I'm really interested in. But the main thing for me is just finding myself into spaces where I'm able to find solutions to the problems that once again affects me and the people around me.
Josh, that's it. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
No worries. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you for listening to episode 48 of Engineering Success with our very special guest, Joshua Bruce. I had such a good time speaking with Josh, and what he has accomplished in such a short period of time is amazing. creating the Young Engineer Summit in Ghana, Josh is giving back his time, resources and knowledge to so many young people who need to be seen and encouraged to pursue their passion in engineering. Sitting on the Youth Advisory Board for Mission 44, Josh is also helping to reimagine the future and transform the lives of young people from underserved communities. Josh's passion for engineering is apparent in all he does, and his commitment to the future of the industry is a shining light which many follow, and he is a great example for everyone. Josh is a huge asset for the engineering industry, and so please follow his journey. All his links can be found on his podcast webpage. If you enjoyed this episode of Engineering Success, please share it with someone you feel would benefit from hearing it, and also leave a comment and subscribe so you never miss an episode. We've got more great guests coming soon, so until the next episode, have a great day, and I hope you succeed in all you do.